We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today's guest is Jessica Ely. Jessica helps high-achieving entrepreneurs get where they want to go while enjoying the trip there. You might be asking, how does she do this? Well, Jessica has helped entrepreneurs earn 4 to 5 times their previous revenue, break through income plateaus, become confident salespeople, achieve work-life balance, and redefine their entire business model to one that they actually enjoy. She's done this by helping people create new value and belief systems that line up with their unique goals and priorities. Friends, you know that I am a firm believer in creating strategy plans and taking action within your business. But I have also seen firsthand in my own business and life and those of my clients how our mindset, boundaries, personal beliefs, and stories that we tell ourselves, those things can make executing those plans more difficult. On today's episode, Jessica Ely is talking with us about the work that she does with high achievers and how she specifically helps them. We're talking about how to focus when we're feeling maxed out and stretched thin. We talked about feeling resentful and stuck because of outside circumstances in our lives and what to do about it. Jessica also gives us an exercise to strengthen our confidence so that we can connect with where we are now in our lives and business and where we want to be. While this episode is timely due to what everyone is experiencing right now with COVID-19, there is long-term relevancy and relatability here. As our businesses grow, we have to break through these new limiting beliefs that pop up in our lives, right? So I hope you will enjoy today's episode with Jessica Ely. Let's jump in. Hey, Jessica. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you on the show today. I have been following your work for a very long time, and it's always inspiring. And I don't know if you realize this, but your blog posts, the podcasts you've done with other people, like you are impacting so many people just as we listen to how you instruct people to shift their mindset and think about things differently. And so I just wanted to say thank you in advance for what you're going to bring today and for all that you've given to me over the years through the other content you've put out in the world.
I appreciate that. No pressure, I guess.
Oh gosh, no, not at all. I'm just excited to have you and to talk to you. So let's kick this off by let's define the work of a mindset coach. Who do you work with and how do you help them?
I'll say that that's one of those words that has different definitions based on who you ask, right? So for some people, it's as simple as a person who helps you kind of reframe your beliefs and question how you're thinking about things. And the goal being like, let's get you to take more action and let's get you to do the stuff that you say you want to do, which is fantastic because that's really what some people need. I have almost started to distance myself more and more from the mindset word just because the work I do tends to be a lot deeper. I'm not interested in a person like just getting stuff done at work. Like if you just needed to get stuff done, you could probably like have your mom guilt you into taking action or something, right? Like you could, like there are other ways to get that done. And a lot of the people that I personally tend to work with are former high achievers or current high achievers who have burnt out or their success isn't feeling good, or if they were formerly very successful. So I have a lot of like former tenured professors and people with many more letters behind their name than I have. People who like went to Ivy League schools and like all this craziness, right? The people who were very, very successful and then they come over to entrepreneurship and they can't figure out how to make it work. And they're completely confounded because it's not like they've struggled in other areas of their life. And now all of a sudden, when they've made this big change, a lot of times because, you know, they burnt out or they recognized that I spent 5 years waking up doing the same thing over and over. And one day I woke up and asked myself, why am I still doing this? That kind of thing, that transition is really hard. To get yourself to start doing things from a place of what's good for me first, what's going to keep taking care of me in a way that I can actually grow a business so that, yes, it takes care of me financially, because that's kind of the point. Otherwise, you have a hobby. Hobbies are great. Hobbies aren't a business, right? And so how do I get my business, sure, to take care of me financially, but also to be something that I actually want to do, that I'm consciously choosing and not shooting myself into doing, that kind of thing. And so a lot of the people that I work with fall into that high achieving category. If they are already entrepreneurs, a lot of times it looks like, I've been selling the same product line and now 5 years later, I hate it. I've been offering the same service over and over. I feel beholden to my team. And like, I have to make sure that I'm keeping things afloat for all of them because they're counting on me, even though I'm starting to hate this business. That kind of thing starts to hold people back if they're doing well in entrepreneurship. And so that's when I tend to come in. And a lot of what I do is like a slow down to speed up kind of thing. Are you willing to sit down and look at the muck in your head and acknowledge what's going on there so that you can actually make progress that feels good? Because if you're not enjoying your life right now, as you're creating a better life, I really just have no interest in that. Like, we're not, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. So like, let's build a business in a way that you actually like right now.
I'm over here nodding my head ferociously yes, because everything you have said, I have personally felt in my business at different points, and the dozens and dozens and hundreds of people that I coach have expressed that they're feeling that same way in their business at different times. And so, one, thank you for doing this hard work. And two, thank you for normalizing it to some degree too, because I think when you're in that feeling of burnout, when you're in that feeling of like, I have all these people on my team that I need to support, or I'm tired of looking at these products or whatever it is, you feel very alone and you feel like, are other people going through this? I mean, everyone else is successful. Like, how do they get through this, you know? And so I guess there are a couple of specific topics that I wanted us to tackle today. The first is focus. You know, the last few months have really disrupted everyone's lives in multiple ways. We've seen a lot of people, myself included, that have pivoted and tried new things. We've got people who are homeschooling kids and just our work, you know, our environment is not the same on a range of levels. What advice do you have for people who are just basically feeling what you just described? They're feeling maxed out and stretched thin right now. They don't feel like they're putting their best foot forward. They're lacking focus. What do you say to them?
You have to think of focus on a macro and a micro level.
Okay.
So the macro level is really hard right now. Like, most of us don't know if our kids are going back to school this fall.
Right.
Most of us don't know what our holiday season is going to look like, for instance, or like you can't count on the things that you've been used to counting on. And if you had some, you know, 2020 grand plan, or you are the kind of person who plans out quarters at a time, that may be hard right now. And so the macro focus has to be more flexible right now, because we have to adjust quickly. We have to allow ourselves to determine, like, okay, what is it that I really need right now, mm-hmm. right? In order to make this kind of weird period work for me,
yeah.
right? And so the macro focus is sometimes, like, especially people who are used to crushing their goals, and like, they make the plan and then they implement the plan, right? And yes. there is no other option. Like, that's just how it goes.
Right.
You can't be married to the plan right now. It's just not an option. And the more you allow yourself to say, okay, what is it that I need to focus on right now? And allow your focus to be more micro, right?
Yeah.
And dedicated to what works for this period. You know, I saw somebody make a post about how they launched an Etsy shop in like April and made $40,000 that month. And somebody asked them, well, what did you sell? And they said masks, right? And it's like, sure, you couldn't have done that in January,
right?
That would not have worked.
Right.
There was no point to that. And there is, understand the value of focus in both. When we are looking at micro focus, man, some days that is 5 minutes at a time.
Yes.
Like if you are dealing with constant interruptions and you have a lot of competing needs right now, whether that is from your vendors or from your suppliers or your kids or, you know, other people you are supporting, what you can focus on may need to shorten up and you may need to be okay with what is it that works right now. It's a little like when you have a newborn at home, if you've been through the newborn thing, like you do what works right then. Like nobody likes eating dinner at 10 p.m. And if that's what works, that's when you do it.
Yeah.
And you take showers when you can. And
yes.
And the environment that we're in right now necessitates the willingness to be okay with kind of soothing ourselves, paying attention to how we're feeling, giving our mental and emotional faculties a break. You're making tons more decisions right now that normally probably come on autopilot. That screws with your focus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're spending all day thinking about things that normally you haven't had to think about, then you don't have the same bandwidth anymore that you had pre-COVID when certain things you could just count on and they just happened and they were always the same.
Yeah.
And so now the focus has to be on one, how do I get through this day? Sometimes, right? Sometimes
yep.
That's the best question you can ask. How do I continue to make my business viable, right? If that's where you're at, what changes or what help can I get to take care of me as a person and as an entrepreneur? And like really consider those separately, because recognize that as an entrepreneur, if the person you is not taken care of, it's not going to work on the business side either.
Right.
So I think the main thing with focus right now is shorten it up and give yourself some grace on what it is you're expecting yourself to be able to do, to be able to strategize right now, and focus on taking care of yourself.
Right. I have had to just... I know this episode is for our listeners, but I'm going to interject with some things I'm struggling with right now because I think it's relatable. I have had to lower my expectations of myself and my team and my business and my kids and my husband, but mostly myself, right? Because that's what I can control. But I've had to do it like probably 100 times in the last several months. And I have to keep reminding myself, nope, we don't need to do this, or nope, it's okay if this doesn't happen. I mean, I know I'm not alone in this, but at the same time, it's difficult to navigate when to move forward on something and when to just let it go a little bit and give yourself more grace around that. So what you're saying about focus really speaks to me there, of like, there are certain days where I'm like, I'm making so many mistakes and I don't normally make these mistakes, or I'm suffering from decision fatigue, or, you know, all these different things. And so what you said just really speaks to me. I think too, there's an element of people feeling like they're working backwards a little bit. And so as an example, several of my coaching clients, they've been in business for more than 10 years. They've built out a strong product line, a strong team. They've delegated out responsibilities. So there's a lot of things in the business that they haven't been handling for a long time. And now with COVID, you know, they're finding themselves working at their kitchen tables again and doing the work that they haven't done in years. And I have to say that I don't know if it's feelings of grief or what those emotions, how to best categorize those emotions, but they do feel deflated right now and they feel like they're moving backwards. How can they shift that mindset or look at this in a different light that's more positive and helpful?
Yeah. The first thing is like, yeah, this sucks.
Right?
Don't try to Susie Sunshine something just because you know, you've, that's what the memes tell you to do when you scroll on Instagram. So I think the first thing is recognize what it is that quote unquote going backwards means to you, right? And what about this is backwards? Are you all of a sudden feeling like a noob again? Do you feel like a hot mess who doesn't know how things are going to go forward? Is it just that you're resenting the fact that you have to do a lot of things that you had kind of outgrown? Like, what is the actual feeling that you are feeling? Is it grief around like, this is too much and this is not okay, and I just want to be able to eat at my table again? Any and all of this is okay. But the more clarity you have on like, what is the underlying thing, the better questions you can ask about how do I solve this? And how do I, and it solve is not the right answer because this isn't solvable right now, but like, how do I get myself some relief? Right. And right now, that's a really great question to ask. That's a great question to ask anytime you're overwhelmed with anything, is not just like, how do I catapult myself to some brand new level, right? Like, do this gigantic up-leveling stratospheric rise to greatness. You know, I mean, it's just baloney. Like, stop. Sometimes we just need relief and to feel like there are options again. And one thing I'll say is I think a lot of people are probably feeling some kind of resentment, even if it's just resentment at a virus, okay, which we recognize is completely illogical. And yet it's like, I feel screwed, right? Like, this thing swept in and now I have no choice. I have to do it like this. And this is baloney. I had gotten my business to this place where that was no longer necessary.
All of that.
Every time, all of that. every time we feel resentment, this includes, you know, at home when you feel like you're stuck doing something, or with your team when somebody drops the ball on something and then you have to do it. It's because we feel like we don't have a choice. And you feel like, well, I have to bring this to my table to pick up the, you know, the balls that have been dropped. I have to be the one who does X, Y, Z thing. And here's what I'll say to you. That's not true. If you wanted to, you have other options, including shuttering the business for 3 months and just having a nice staycation that features daily margaritas. Like, you have options. And what I'll say to that is I recognize you may not like all of the options, but it is untrue that you have to do whatever it is you picked right now. And so the more you like write out all of your options, a lot of times people come to me and they're like, what do I do? Like, I have to make more money, right? And they think it has to come from their business. And I'm like, I want you to write down all the places where you could get money and include like that rich uncle you haven't talked to in a long time, and like the payday loan you would never get, and like having your partner ask for a raise from the boss who's a butthead. And like, and these are all terrible options. And you don't like them and you don't want to take them. And that's fine. I'm not saying you have to, but you have to acknowledge that there are options, because resentment comes from a place of, I had to do this. I was screwed over by an external circumstance. And the more you recognize, actually, no, I chose to bring the business to my kitchen table because this is how I wanted to save the business. And this is actually what was smart. And holy crap, that was a really great move. And good job, me. This is inconvenient, but I did the thing that made sense to do right now. Right? Then you recognize that, like, I chose to do this because this is what was best for me. Or you're going to look at your list of options and be like, actually, this thing makes a lot more sense to do right now. So finding the limited options that you do have right now and acknowledging that either you are already doing the best thing that you can do or picking the thing that would be better for you is a really good way to kind of ease up the feelings that kind of come up with any of this uncertainty?
I'm listening and hanging on every word, because I feel like so many of us feel like we were shoved in a corner, like this was put upon us. And, you know, I like how you say to look at the other options and consider the options, even if we wouldn't necessarily take that option, because you're right. We dismiss all of those things and we think we're stuck. This is the only thing we can do. And you're right. That stuck feeling creates panic. That creates resentment. Yes. It creates a feeling of loss, I think, is what some of the people I'm talking to are working through right now, too, with this. But we have options. That was really impactful to hear. So thank you for that. You know, in the past, I've heard you say that success holds more people back than failure at times. What did you mean by that? Mm-hmm.
Failure for most people is just more of the same. And you're already living through what you're doing right now. Right. So not that bad. Or it's like, you know, 5 steps ago, and maybe you don't want to go back to that, right? Like maybe you don't want to go back to the kitchen table. Okay. Fine. But you've already been there, and something about your head says, oh, I can survive that. It wasn't great. I don't want to, but my belief system knows that that's something I can deal with. Success takes you to a place that your head has no concept of. It requires changing people, changing how you think of yourself. It'll change your bank account. It'll change how your friends see you and how your mom thinks about you and what your friends say. And it'll change the dynamics in your partnership. And it'll change how you think about how you spend your time. It changes everything. And your head spazzes out and says, never mind. I don't know if we can handle that. I don't trust myself to figure that all out on the fly. Plus, there's some elements of my life right now that I really, really want to hang on to. So no thanks.
Right. How do we avoid that freak out and still continue to push forward into the success that we want to build?
One, knowing that you can handle anything that comes up cannot be underestimated. When you trust your inherent ability to figure it out, and that doesn't mean that it's going to be great or that you're going to love it or that you will come through smelling like a rose or that it will be a period of life that you want to relive again. Like most people want to just kind of scrap 2020 from their memory, like already now.
I know, and
that's okay. And yet all of us survived this. None of us would have chosen this. I have laughed so many times because somewhere beginning of February or so, I sent an email to my list about how difficult the last 6 weeks had been. And they had been, right?
Yes.
And yet it was hilarious because in hindsight, I'm like, you had no idea what you were talking about. Right. Like we were just getting started. And so
perspective, huh?
Yes, perspective, right? But when you trust that I'll figure it out and I'll know more when I'm at that level about how to deal with that level than I can know right now, looking at what it is I'm looking at around me, it enables you to take risks that you can't possibly imagine figuring out right now. The other thing is letting go of identities that you feel you have to have. For a lot of my people, like I said, you know, they're the ones with like strings of letters behind their names and stuff. Being smart and having their stuff together and like always crushing it and knowing what they're doing is very deeply baked into how my people see themselves. And so they won't allow themselves to do anything that risks that, right? If there's a possibility that they're going to do something and then it might fail and then they'd look dumb, quote unquote, or they'd look like they were changing their mind too often or they don't have it all together anymore or, oh God, what happened to her? She really used to do great. And like now she kind of like she does this weird thing and I don't get it. And what happened, right? The more you are willing to let go of some of those core identities that you have for yourself and to not like need those things to be true in order for you to be okay, the more you can take the kind of risks that are required in order for you to be have and be the kind of success that you want. But it won't happen unless you're willing to get rid of everything you have now. That doesn't mean you have to get rid of everything. Again, you always have a choice. But are you willing to take the notions that you have about yourself right now, the way life is right now, and burn it to the ground in order to have what it is you say that you want? And until you're at that place, you won't really do it. You'll take like little steps.
Well, and I think too, this is bringing me back to something we were kind of talking about earlier, but like getting super clear on what you want or need. Yeah. And how, like, you need to do that first before you can decide what your comfort level is with burning down your preconceived notions of yourself and your identity there and all of those things. Am I correct there?
Yes. And for some people, what I'll say is what it is you want may not be a picture of like, oh, I want to live in this kind of house and have these kinds of friends and have this kind of business. For some of you, especially the ones who like this business is how you're trying to express a purpose, or you're trying to like, you're recovering from years of shooting on yourself, those kinds of things. What you're going for and what success will be for you is, do I like my life? Do I feel peace? Do I go through my day with a general sense of ease, even when everything around me is crazy? Do I have the kind of relationships I want? Whatever, right? It won't be a tangible thing. Mm-hmm. Like you won't be able to make a vision board, okay? That's not an option for everybody. Because at the end of the day, you don't care about those things. You've already lived the kind of life where you checked all the boxes, and checking the boxes didn't actually make you feel any better. So you added more boxes, and then you checked those off, and that didn't do it either. And so you added a few more, and then you started getting leery feelings about adding check boxes, right? Yeah. So for some people, being clear on what it is you're going for is not going to be like a tangible thing. It's going mm-hmm. to be like, how do I want to experience my life? The end.
Yeah. Do you think that that changes and evolves over time, specifically looking at business owners, you know, the different phases of business we go through, the beginning, what we're trying to do and what we have available to, we're much more in hustle and grind mode at the beginning, right? And like the business evolves and we grow as an entrepreneur too. So do you feel like that discussion of what we want is closely tied to those stages of business too? Or does that, do you see trends, I guess, too, as people are evolving through the business and what they need and want?
It can be, for sure. It depends on what brought a person to entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So for instance, my people who come to me from like corporate burnout, or like they've already done the thing, right? They will not hustle and grind, period. They just won't. Like they'll make $100 a month forever and ever and just eat beans and rice, if that's what it means, rather than ever go back to working just for the sake of working.
Right. So it's more about experience and like the personal experience we've had versus, you know, maybe where you are in the entrepreneur journey.
Yes. I think it's much more about how much do you believe that your external environment determines how it is you feel. Mm-hmm. And the more you let go of that, I contend this is what a midlife crisis is, right? A midlife crisis is like, I like really pushed really hard until midlife, and now I'm realizing I've checked off a lot of boxes and I'm not happy. What gives? And so then we try and look for other things that make us happy.
Totally. And I think too, like those check boxes, those initial things that we're reaching for are really stemming from the things in our childhood, or, you know, the priorities that we were, that were kind of ingrained in us maybe as we were growing up. So I do think that people hit a point where they're like, wait, hold on. This is like the direction I've been heading because this is the way I was guided.
Right.
But is this truly what I want to be doing?
Right. And some people, as far as entrepreneurship goes, will hit that before they get to the start gate, truly. Mm-hmm. They're just not available for it. And then I talk to other people and they're already like, you know, well into seven figures. And then they start to question like, oh, like, do I really want to do it like this? Is this what it needs to look like? And so you can't know where that's going to happen, but everybody hits a point where we realize that I don't need a bunch of achievements or a certain status or a certain thing to happen in order for me to be okay. And building a business after that point looks considerably different from the hustle and grind and make a 90-day plan kind of.
Totally. Absolutely. With my clients, I'm big on strategy and action and the steps we need to take. And I feel like one of the areas that I'm not as strong is this mindset area, but I recognize the importance of it. And I know that when we as a human, because I see it in myself too, sure. When I am feeling safe and secure and confident in my decisions, and I know I have options and, you know, I feel in control of my environment and my surroundings and I'm a better business owner. I'm a better mom. I'm a better person. I'm a better wife. All these things, right? When we feel secure, we make better decisions. And that makes it easier then, I think, in my opinion, to then do the strategy piece, the action piece. But when there's that disconnect, when we're not feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong, I want your thoughts on this. I'm not trying to just spout my own feelings here. But when we're feeling secure, it's easier to take that step. When we're not feeling secure or comfortable in what we're doing, that's where everything becomes harder in the business. Do you see that with your clients too?
Yes. And what I'll say is some people for a while can build that sense of security for themselves mm-hmm. by creating results, right? So I know that I can sell this thing and make this money, and then that money can be used to create this kind of comfort level for my family, and then we're good, and right? And what I'll throw out there is kind of the 2.0 level of that is I can feel secure in myself and that I know that I don't need certain things to be in place in order for me to be okay. And I have cultivated the ability to create mental and emotional security for myself, right? And it's not like if this, then that, right? It's no, I need to feel secure. And so I'm going to take control of my own emotional and mental well-being first. And then from that, all of my results will stem. It's not that, oh, I need to look at the sales graph at the end of the month and see that, in fact, I am now secure again for next month. You can't have that kind of contingency. And I recognize that that's much easier in a lot of cases, right? Go out, get a result, feel safe. Go out, get a result, know you can do the thing again. But it is much more sustainable to find that within yourself but that's just a muscle, right? Nobody in our generation was raised to think about it like this, right?
Right.
So that has to be learned. But I think the more people learn that, the better they are at needing less from their business and ironically then being able to get more out of it.
Well, I was going to say too, there have been times where I have had to pull back from the business, you know, having the babies, for example, or whatever it might be. And yet I saw growth in the business. I think when we do let go to some extent, it can take on wings of its own in different ways. And I'm not saying you can just like put your business on autopilot without systems and things in place. But I do think we get, as entrepreneurs, as business owners, we're too close to it at times and we do need to take a step back. So, I mean, what kind of tools can we use to strengthen our confidence and mindset? I love the example you gave about like weighing out all the options and listing them out because that does give you clarity. Are there other things we can do to boost our confidence and mindset so that we can achieve our goals? Or where do you want people to start, I guess, is more my question.
Okay. So one place I like people to start is take like 5 or 10 minutes and write down, I am, and then fill in the blank over and over and over. And that might say an entrepreneur, a mom, a wife, a sister, a daughter. And then it'll also include things like, I am smart, I am resourceful, I am blah, 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 blah. And you write them all out. And these are all your identities, These are all the ways that you perceive yourself. And then you write out, I would like to be blank. And you write down all of those things.
I love this.
Everything from the first list is what's stopping you from getting the second list.
And wow. That is so simple, yet yes, absolutely.
And that's not to say that, like, if you wrote down, I would like to be a 28-figure entrepreneur, right? If that's what you wrote down, that doesn't mean that you can now no longer be a mom. That's not what that means. What that means is your attachment to that first list, you're going to have things on that list that you're not willing to compromise, that you are telling yourself, oh, you know what? Like, if I have to give that up, then I don't want the things on my second list. And what's actually true is you don't have to sacrifice those things, but there's some kind of values conflict that you have that tells you, like, this plus this is not possible. My current identity and what it is I would like to achieve cannot coexist. We have all kinds of baloney stories, right? Who knows what it is you heard? And when you recognize, ooh, like, this thing is how I am right now, how I perceive myself right now is seemingly in my head at odds with where it is I want to go, then you can start to play with the what I call, like, and thinking. Okay. So a lot of people will have, like, or thinking. I can be a good mom, or I can be a really awesome boss lady CEO, right? And the or thinking is what is slowing you down. So then the thing to do is start asking yourself and questions. Okay. So how do I be the thing from my first list and the thing from my second list? And what usually happens is people start to explain. This is when, like, the justifications and the explanation right. and the yeah buts come out, right? Mm-hmm. And I get the big laundry list. And those are all of your values conflicts, your limiting beliefs, whatever else we want to call them, right?
Yeah.
And your job is to ask yourself over and over and over, how can I? How can I? How can I? How can I? So how can I be what I am right now and step into this new role, if that's what you want, right? And when you start to explore those options, it's really important to get clear on which pieces of those roles and identities are important to you. Like, what the heck does it mean to be, I keep using the good mom example, right? What does that actually mean to you? Does that mean that you need to spend 20 hours a week with your kids, 20 hours a day? I don't know. What is your definition of that? And you need to make commitments around how it is you want to show up for the roles that you currently have. You need to put boundaries around the things that are slowing down where it is you want to go. Mm-hmm. But that you feel like you still need to hang on to. Yeah. And then you ask yourself what it is you're willing to do to go to the next level. Every change starts with willingness. You cannot, like, should yourself into this crap or it will not work. It won't be sustainable. So what am I willing to do to kind of start to embrace everything on my second list?
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever been speechless on a podcast interview with other people. I'm just blown away. So thank you for all of that. I'm absorbing it myself for things in my own life. And I know our listeners are going to be really impacted by this. I know there's several people listening right now who want to learn more about your programs and services and how they might be able to work with you. So can you shed some light on that for us?
Yeah, sure. I love working one-on-one with people. In full disclosure, I am T-minus less than 3 months away from kiddo number 4 showing up, which is maybe why all my mom examples came out. So one-on-one is on a wait list right now, but I love doing that. That will not go away ever. I also imagine, honestly, that I will just sneak some like one-on-ones in. I just can't not do it. Right?
I know.
It's such a good excuse to be like, I need 45 minutes to myself. So I know it's not actually going away. And then I have my program prep work, which is really what it is I wish everyone would go through and get to before they dive into like big strategic investments. Now, usually that means that a person has tried to do a lot of strategy and then it doesn't work. And then they realize this might be my head that is slowing me down. That program I run, you go through it yourself if you want to, but I go through it with everybody twice a year. Okay. And what's cool about it is every time we go through it, you know, the same people are going through it again and again, and they take it to another level every time. And they come back 6 months later and they're like, oh, 6 months ago, I was talking about this. And now that's not even relevant. Now I'm going through this. And I walk people through these shifts that we are just all constantly making in entrepreneurship over and over and over, because it's just like a never ending onion.
Well, that's what struck me as I've been listening to you for this interview of like, this is an ever evolving thing that all of us need to be thinking about. We need to be preparing for, we need to be working on internally at our own pace, working on the things that are most important for us and getting through those limiting beliefs that we've had from our own experiences. And yeah, I could totally see how somebody would join that program and just continue to redo it every year, because the growth of as an individual and an entrepreneur requires that.
Yes. So it's fun. It's fun to see like what changes.
Yeah. I'm sure you enjoy seeing those evolutions. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. So you've got your program, you've got your one-on-one work. Are there other things that people might be able to listen to or watch? Or?
So I do periodically offer like workshops, and I've been known to have 4 weeks of coming in and sitting with me, and we'll donate all the money to Charity Water just because I feel like talking to people for 4 weeks again. I have a couple of smaller products like Sensitive Sales, where I talk to people really about shifting their mindset around sales. That's more for service-based people, so probably not as applicable. I also have an intensive that people can get where we talk about, really, we dive into like, what's your money story? And what does your head think about going to the next level, for instance, and where it is that you're slowing down? For a lot of people, that makes a lot of sense when they hit some kind of financial plateau. And that's usually what brings people to me, is like, oh, I'm stuck. And like, no matter what I do, I just can't get over it. And then they come to me and we figure out what's going on there.
That's a really good point, that that's kind of, it's a very clear example of when things aren't working, right? The money hurdle, because you may have tried everything else, but it's a concrete example. It's not just a feeling we have, but it's a concrete example of how things aren't working.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, where can people find you online, your website or social media to follow you? And again, we'll put these in the show notes too, so people can.
Yeah, sure. So my website is JessicaEley.com. And on social media, Instagram and Facebook primarily, I am at I am Jess Ely.
Nice. Jessica, I really appreciate your time today and sharing all this. It's been very enlightening for me personally, but I know that many of our listeners and my coaching clients are struggling with a lot of the things you talked about. They are, I can pretty much say with certainty, majority are high achieving people that are doing great work, but I feel like a lot of it has become much harder for them, obviously, in all of our lives. But I think there's some mindset stuff that if we just start to work on this and do some of the examples and the exercises you shared with us today, that that will open us up to some new ideas and concepts and ways of thinking. So thank you for sharing those exercises with us. And thank you for being the cheerleader that you are for online entrepreneurs. We need more people like you in our space, cheering us on and giving us these tools to strengthen ourselves and our businesses. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Okay, friends, I hope you found this episode helpful. As entrepreneurs, we think so much about the strategy side of it, the day-to-day implementation and tasks that we need to get done. But like Jessica mentioned, we can't just go through life checking all of the things off the list, right? That does make us feel good. We feel like we're making progress and being productive. But a critical piece in our business success and our life success is this mindset piece. We need to be creating strong boundaries and actively recognizing how we view ourselves and what we believe, and really how those things may be holding us back in other ways. So I want to encourage you to go back and do the exercises that Jessica mentioned in this episode. Figure out where you are and where you want to go next. Get clear on your needs and remind yourself that you have options. I've included Jessica's links in the show notes, so if you want to access more of her tools or learn more from her, go there to get those links. Also, we are going to be discussing mindset inside of Proof to Product Labs in the coming months. If you are looking for a community of makers, product designers, and entrepreneurs to connect with and support you on your business journey, you'll also get group coaching from me. I want you to head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs and join us. Thanks so much. I'll be back next week with a new episode.